Okay, it's 7 p.m. and it's time to hear a motion to begin the meeting. Do I hear a motion?
Motion made to begin the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. First thing on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance, and we'll do a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we've got a 15-minute time period for citizens' comments, limited to 3 minutes per person. Is there anybody that's got anything that they want to talk about? Okay, that's easy enough to get through.
Yeah.
All right, next thing on here is the August 15th, 2023 city meeting minutes. They were all distributed. Posted online. Is there any corrections or anything that needs to be done? If not, do I hear a motion to approve the August city meeting minutes?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All opposed? No. City's financial reports for August 2023. Is there any corrections or anything that anybody wants to bring up other than me? Okay, I want to point out, if you hadn't paid attention to it, on the financial report, now we do have a few refunds, but as of the 31st of August, we are $1,414.95 for meeting the budget for this year's property tax. I was totally amazed because Dan called me in early August and says, "We got hardly any of the property taxes." I says, "Don't worry, they're coming." So anyhow.
We're over or under?
Just by $14.95. But that's before those refunds that he sent out. We're probably still around $2,500 to $3,000. But
that
still.
Send me a deposit, like yesterday or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch. There was a bunch deposited. So it probably evens out. Anyhow, I just wanted to bring that up. Something to be glad about. Okay, so with that said, do I hear a motion to approve the city's financial report?
Motion made.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, who wants it? Okay, thank you, Commissioner Maupin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. All right. The invoice receipts and reimbursements are going around. It's finally getting to me. Okay. So, with that said, I'll just initial off here, and we'll be moving along here in a second. We'll see if we can't get Crystal to come over by and do hers. Okay. Old business. Does any commissioner have any old business they want to talk about? That would be on the snow rule.
We got all the street signs put up finally. that I ordered in July. I do believe that that brings us up. I mean, I don't know of any more that we need.
I don't think of anything else. The one thing that we do need to do is keep an eye on Boynton. Dennis and I drove around there after the trash picked up on Friday.
And
there's tire tracks 3 inches from the curb.
I called them when it was 18, so now it's 3.
Wouldn't you say it was 3, Dennis?
Yeah.
Crazy. We gave them an extra, 5 or 6 feet to make that turn? And they still can't make it.
He still hasn't replied. And also added to send the info about yard waste. And I'm assuming he hasn't gotten back with you.
No, he hasn't gotten back with me, and the amounts haven't changed, so we'll deal with this when we have the ability to deal with it, because it's not going to happen this year.
I'll send him another email.
I did notice one thing, you what? Probably saw it.
Do you mind if
I building on Middlesex is being...
Hang on a minute. Yes, Dennis is speaking.
What did you say, Dennis?
The building on Middlesex, I did notice that it's being dismantled.
We haven't gotten there yet, but yeah.
I just want to say.
Yeah. That is one thing. Yeah, when we get to... We're down here. You're right. That's the next thing on there. The property management or the property improvements at 4711 Middlesex is finally being dismantled. Dennis brings that up. And to add to that, not only was they directed by the stop work notice to dismantle it, they also were noticed or told to dismantle the one that was already up. I think they'll fight that, but they ain't going to win. That's an MSD easement. Encroachment.
They were over utility easements, weren't they?
Yeah, they're over the MSD easement.
Mr. Mayor, can I be excused, please?
Sure, go ahead. You can leave any time you want.
All right.
Go home and get well. He was in an accident, car accident last week. Really bad. He was just getting improved, too.
If I can add something about the Middlesex property.
Mm-hmm.
Since the middle of July, I've received 17 emails regarding that.
Okay.
From various people, including you, but, you know, there's been a lot of talk about
complaints?
It.
Or just questions about it, or inquiries, or...
Just emails in general.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't really heard from any residents.
I've heard from 3, so... We talked about that last time. Okay. Next thing on here is the independent black box keeper canceled. We talked about this last meeting, and you asked to get some information, so I did. And you can hardly, it's awful small print, but I've got a bigger print one if you need to ask a question about a certain one. And I also want to bring up the point that this month, if you'll notice, when I talk about reading the emails, it's down there on archived images. There was 59 of them that they've done, and with a viewing, is it chart for viewing too?
Yeah, I don't print anything.
Yeah, you don't print anything. You just view them. But that's what I'm saying. They're charging for the view. Yeah, view archived images. 59 of them. They're charging a nickel every time you open or you look. You must print them or something. So that was what I was talking about last time. I mean, we're already getting charged.
$0.05 or what's $2.95?
That's a total amount.
That's a total amount. It doesn't sound like much, but you know when
it's ridiculous.
It gets ridiculous when you've got a lot of images to look at. And
I mean, last year when like
yeah, we had $200 and something on a couple of the bills.
Because that would have been that's probably at least 500 images that went through the lockbox last year.
Right. So
look at everyone.
Here's the thing that this is a reason why I brought up how close we are on our budget number this year. I'm curious because we've got no way of knowing how many of these deposits are getting returned to the sender, like we have one to talk about here later. And, you know, are we actually getting our money's worth when we got rough sort of 13 cents? There was nothing on it. I made her write down everything that had a charge on it for us. And
is this $84.12 a month?
No,
well,
no. The base without it is 86 or 68.86 plus now the 1060. So those first two numbers are what our normal charge is now.
Well, what other alternative is there to
just having it go to the P.O. box?
What if it, where would the archive images or images be stored?
Well, when we get them at the P.O. box, mm-hmm. Bev makes a copy of them with the receipt for whatever comes in, and then they get sent over to Dan.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it's a PDF that we have.
Okay.
Okay. Which, you know, it's more work for Bev, but I think the accountability is much better than what we have right now. Because we're, in the past, there wasn't two people going to the mailbox. Now we have two people going to the mailbox. There's accountability on that standpoint. Nobody's walking away with any checks. Okay. And at the same time, we're not paying to look at viewed images, which if we have 500 and something images that Dan has to go through, that gets into, you know, a little bit of money.
Where does the hard copies come?
They get shredded after 60 days, which is the requirement.
Right, but it's still, the email that she sends to Dan is still saved in our backup on our web, our email company.
All the images are also on the online banking. I don't know how far you can go back on the online banking, but
all the checks
are on. So I can go into any deposit this year for sure and see any check, but I don't know how long I can. Like PNC only gives you like 90 days to look at that stuff. I don't know how long you can spend bank kitchen.
So. As far as like these archive images, that would you could retain those, and so we're just paying for this for why?
Exactly.
Okay.
For Bev to do less work. I'll stick up for Bev here. She does do a lot of work.
Susan, you weren't here last month, but I let them know that last year, between July 1st and August 15th. I had 181.
Yeah, I was here.
That I did.
Remember,
okay.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, it's Linda. It's Linda that wasn't here.
Yeah.
I had 181 checks that I processed for property tax. This year I had 555. Because
so
they
are there all the options to pay by check and by credit card?
We don't pay credit card.
No credit card. Credit it's card. All checks.
Nope.
Is there a reason why just to be able to? That's the cheapest option, or
what are you talking about?
As far as payment, that you would have to have all these checks.
It doesn't cost anything if they want to pay by check, but if they pay by credit card, there's fees involved.
Right.
Okay. Well, what about something like Zelle?
Who?
Zelle.
What's that?
That's a payment.
It's a payment. It's
we're not getting into. We're not going to. Oh, first off. This is taxpayer revenue, okay?
Right.
Okay. And you have to have contracts with those vendors, okay? And in the case of PayPal, I know for a fact they hold money. Now, I don't know about Zelle's, but they hold money in advance.
I don't think you have to have a contract with Zelle.
But here again is...
The bank offers it, and the person's bank offers it. It's just a suggestion. I'm not...
Well, the reason... Everything costs money when you do that, and it's out of our hands. You know, we depend on the credit card company keeping that information sacred, because they direct deposit into our checking account.
And people aren't going to, if it's just direct deposit in our checking account, there's going to be a deposit of $209.83.
And you won't know who it's from unless they know it exactly. I understand.
Because every time somebody sends a check, well, not every time, they almost always put the coupon, the remittance voucher, the stub. A lot of times people write the address or the...
Right.
They have the address on the check, and then might as well write the property tax ID number on the check.
Uh-huh.
That electronic stuff or credit card stuff.
Well, I was just thinking of a way that it would lighten...
It's only...
How many hours do you think, Bev, you spent processing those checks?
I really have no idea. But I usually, probably normally just work on Tuesdays and Fridays. And I was working every day, because we also have to find out about a limit at the bank. Because Bob said there was a limit of a daily deposit at the bank. So I could only do so much work today and wait till tomorrow to do more. So that was money that was not getting into our account right away.
And the idea now is, if we get rid of the lockbox during that 6-week period, is for Dennis and I, or Bev and I, to go to the mailbox every day.
I hadn't heard that.
I did.
You did?
Yeah. That was the plan that I was coming up with.
Oh.
Okay. So I did hear it. but that would be the way to alleviate working so hard on 2 days and carrying it through the week, is to basically go to that mailbox every day and take those checks out of there. Because also, when we get this big influx, the post office is actually giving us one of them big white tubs.
Mm-hmm.
They just put it into that because the mailbox gets full. And they've been really good. I talked to the woman that's the head cashier there, and or the counter person, and she says they have a new person in back that's responsible for that area that we're in, because I talked to her so many times and told her that we were having problems, that we're not having as much misplaced mail.
I was going to say about the lockbox, because the bank that we use, over there, the HOA uses, they somehow they managed to misplace 25 of the homeowner's fees.
Mm-hmm. So I'm recommending, or I'm going to make a motion, that we notify Independence Bank that we want to cancel our lockbox. Effective. It renews automatically.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
When? Monthly?
Monthly. Yeah, we can stop it at any time. It's not on. We get an annual post office fee that comes in January, okay, for the P.O. box number. So rather than wait until January, we don't really have any more. This one that we're looking at is for August. This is ending date of August 31st. So what I was thinking was, we give them notice that we want to cancel it as of October 1st. That way we'll just get one more bill for September, and that'll be it. So I'm making a motion that we notify Independence Bank to stop our lockbox and have the any mail that's received, have it forwarded to our P.O. box, and beginning October 1st. Do I hear a second?
My second.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Let's just have a roll call vote. Mayor Stone says yes. Dennis?
Yes.
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 Okay, everybody's yes.
I do have one question real quick, though. Who notifies the taxpayers that there's...
Well, the taxpayer got the T.O. box.
Gotcha.
The only thing we had the lockbox on was to the corporate people.
Gotcha.
That pays out of escrow.
All right, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
How will they know?
Well, they're already paid, should be. And anything that comes... next year, they should contact us like they have been. Wells Fargo and Loretta both have contacted us.
I'm assuming you're going to lose access to all those archived images. It's just to say.
Well, what do you suggest?
I was just making a statement.
Okay. I will check with Independence Bank.
When I do.
Okay. I'll write this on here. Do you need them?
I don't think so. The only time I ever really need them is when I'm initially in interim, and then if I hear something wrong, and I find this double posting, and I go back and look at it, and I'm like, oh, that was wrong. So prior years,
it's history.
It's history.
Can they download that on a thumb drive or something?
I'll find out.
Yeah. Just to have.
Like, I don't know if there's some kind of government thing about keeping record of stuff. And I would hate for you to do something you shouldn't do.
I know.
Okay. Oh. This lady has a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Mine come out of escrow, and when I receive my Worthington Hills, it doesn't stay on there not to pay it. And it's because it's paid by my mortgage company, and I was wondering why.
I don't know why the mortgage company. We send out, when we send a tax bill to everybody.
Right, that's what I'm saying, it's not on that bill. Because you're getting mine through
my... Well, it's on the insert letter.
I didn't see that.
If you look at the insert letter, it states at the top when it gives the...
The mortgage company?
Yeah, if you're being paid by mortgage company to call them and notify them, and they'll take care of it, okay?
Okay.
But the insert letter does have it in the first part of the top of the page.
Okay, I'll go back.
Did you pay yours this year?
They
got to
pay.
No, did you pay also?
No.
Okay, good.
No. Yeah, it's on that. Every year we put an insert letter in there. Okay? And it has information on that insert letter.
How does the mortgage company...
The mortgage company sends us a survey. You send them to me to fill out. CoreLogic didn't do it this year.
My mortgage company didn't send you anything. I guess when you take out your loan, you tell them you're going to get this bill.
You have to ask them to escrow for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But you didn't tell your company where to escrow it to pay the payment to.
I told them City of Worthington Hills. But when all that comes out, I didn't tell them how much to pay you.
Okay, there's a good question. I want everybody to know this. These big institutions that pay property taxes for the financial institutions, they buy a database from Jefferson County PVA at $20,000. For the whole database of Jefferson County. And at that point, their technicians, their IT people, do all the sorts and do everything they need to do to pay out to those for those properties. Now, how they do it, I don't know. My assumption is that because that database, we give them the tax rate after we approve it. And we usually approve it at the May City meeting. after we approve it, I send all the paperwork, the mayor sends all the paperwork down to PBA. They send us a batch of information that's got to be sent to them. One of them is the city ordinance for the tax rate. At that point, they probably got orders from these financial institutions or these payment centers to give them the database with the new ones. Now, this is for everybody in Jefferson County, and most everybody has, they have to have their tax rate done before the end of July. So that those, if they're on a July 1st to a June 30th, that information has to be to them. Now, if they're somewhere later, like summer or October, summer January, but in our case, they know which cities are on July 1st to June 30th, and they send that information. Their algorithm goes through and with your partial ID that identifies where the tax rate should be, and then they basically send that information, I'm assuming, to the financial institution that's got your escrow account, tell them how much they owe. They people transfer the money back to that people that are pay, and they send the payment into the governing authority. Okay? That's my assumption, just doing this for 4 years. That's the only way I can see it being done. Okay? Because they'll send us a survey, and they'll ask what our tax year is. You know, is there a discount? When's the penalty start? You know, they don't ask for the ordinance. I usually tell them to go to the website and look for the ordinance. So they ask for, they'll ask for where the payment's supposed to be made. Do you check, is the payment on good if it's postmarked or do whatever? Okay, they've got all these questions. So that's how the escrow companies get their money to the people paying these things in big batches. And that is the best answer I can give you. So does that help out? It's the magic of technology. Okay. All right. So I've got these questions written down for Independent Bank. I will take care of that tomorrow.
Did you ask them about the daily limit yet?
No, daily limit. Well, there won't be. We won't have to worry about that.
Why won't we?
Well, we think we're going to do it every day. But I'll ask.
I don't know if I can commit to every day.
Well, that's fine. All right. Lockbox is taken care of. That's taken care of. Salary schedules. We've been putting this off and putting this off and putting this off. We keep tabling and tabling and tabling it. But I brought the proposed ordinances. Oh, that's mine. I went the wrong way. And I thought what we'd do is at least start making an attempt to do something with it. Even though we've got till March to get the second motion in. Who's this one? Okay, we've got, well, one is for the commissioners because the mayor can't do anything until 25 or 26. So, which one you want to start with? We'll start on the commissioners. All right. The last time we talked about this, I heard a very high consensus for a change from $300 to $400 a month. Is that still what I'm hearing?
I think it's fair. We haven't. When's the last time we had a?
It was 2014 with the election year for 2015. It was the election
8 years ago.
It's And by the way, they did that on the year that they had the big snowstorm and tried to raise the taxes to an illegitimate amount. So that's the last time. They raised it from, at that time, I think prior to that, it was 2010. And at that time, they were 250, and they raised it to 300 in beginning in 15. So.
Well, the only thing I have to say about this is I know when we first started talking about it that you were going to take a pay cut.
I can't take a pay cut.
In order to.
Yet.
What?
I can't take a pay cut until 27.
Well, good, because I don't think your salary should subsidize our increase. I don't think that's fair.
Okay. Again, the rules are, so that people understand, salary changes don't go in effect until the next elected.
We can't vote ourselves a raise.
Right. Thank you. Make it simple. This raise would take effect at the beginning of 2025. When the new commission comes in. But anytime you're doing a salary change for any elected officials, it has to be done before the first Monday in May of the election year, which is next year. So this has been hashed around for a while, and we're just trying to get ahead of the curve. Now, on unelected people, their change can happen at the beginning of the fiscal year. And I don't believe there's a date that's a cutoff for it to be, as long as it's ordained before the beginning of the effective period. So that's what the other one is. The other one is to change the payment amount for the city clerk and the city treasurer, which is currently $700 a month. And so those two are on the table again. So if there's nothing else we need to talk about on this at this time, we'll go ahead and table it again. All right, do I hear table the ordinances? All right, we're tabling the ordinances for the time being. All right.
Is that a motion?
Don't need a motion. Just.
Okay, done.
Commissioner Malpins, we did table it, so. If you want to put it in there.
Commissioner Adams isn't here anyway, so.
Yeah. That's the reason why I wanted to table it, too. All right, the green space litter problem still seems to be working with the trash bags. It was still clean last Wednesday.
Good.
I think partially because the kids are back in school, too. All right. Our emergency communications.
We're going to use Channel 1.
Channel 1. Okay. New business. All right. Commissioner input, and Linda said she wanted to, she sent me an email, said she wanted to do the proposal for the snow and ice removal.
Yes, I got the proposal for the 2023-24, let me get my brain together here.
Snow removal.
Snow removal. Yes, there is an increase total with the pre-treatment, the magic salt application. There's a $300 increase from last year, but I think that's, you know, with the price of salt, and I think that's a very reasonable increase. I see no reason not to continue.
What did come? What was last year's?
Last year's the magic salt application was $2,190. It's $2,310 this year, which is $120 increase. And then the pre-treatment with the magic salt was $1,570, and this year it's $1,750. I was hoping maybe they transposed their numbers, but I don't think so.
Well, that's probably because they did more pre-treatment last year than they did snow plowing and salt.
Yeah. And I did have a question, because I only had to call him once after I took office. So is the pretreatment something that we have to ask for? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you make the decision on that based off of what you're seeing coming in, okay?
Okay.
And usually that's, he'll usually initiate it, okay? He will call you. I've seen him do that.
The last time I called him, the first time I called him, I was in the middle of a parking lot, and it was just snowing so hard, and I thought, oh my goodness, the streets are going to be covered, and everybody's going to be mad because it didn't get fixed, and then it quit. I was like, well, okay, now what do I do?
Did they change on the plowing at all?
No, the plowing stayed the same, $750,
$1,000, and $1,400.
Okay, great. Yeah, that stayed the same. The only thing changed was the pre-treatment and the magic salt application.
Has everybody been listening to the Farmer's Almanac? What have I been saying for 6 weeks?
I didn't ask you about woolly worms or none of that stuff.
No, for 6 weeks I've been telling you that it's going to be early cool. You know, because I was watching my tree leaves. Yeah, they're predicting we're going to have a cold winter.
I know we're going to have a cold winter, but whether or not we have a snowy.
I think we're going to have an early frost. I think we're going to have frost around Halloween. That's my prediction.
You just want to get that scraper out then.
Okay. All right. Okay, we've got something that happened.
Well, may I go ahead and...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you want to make a motion?
You make the motion.
No, you can make
the motion. Oh, all right. I make a motion that we continue to use MoBetter for our snow removal in the city of Worthington Hills.
I'll say.
All right. That was Commissioner Beville and Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, everybody's an aye. I'm sorry, Linda.
I will let him know.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'll see if I can't prepare the contract like we had last year. I don't think I sent you the Word doc.
You didn't.
On that. So it's just a matter of changing the numbers and the dates. Okay. We do need to vote on something or make you aware of it. What did you end up doing with it? You cash the check?
Oh, no.
Okay. All right.
I didn't do anything with the check.
All right. We got an email from Guardian Savings Bank because their check had returned. Their mailing. They had certified mail. They paid $8.53 certified mail. And it went to our regular P.O. box, but they got returned to sender unable to deliver. Now, the only thing, this is one of the things I talked to the head clerk about last week was, she said possibly what happened, because this was before, because I gave her the date, she said this was before the new girl took over that's back there heading up that area. Could have put it in the wrong box, the notice, because this gets a little pink notice, and it didn't get picked up within 15 days. Certified mail has to be picked up in 15 days. So anyhow, they got the check back. They emailed Bev, and basically, I said, well, we're going to have to ask how to handle this, because they did pay August. The check is dated
the 8th
of August, and I think they paid the discount fee, right? We got two checks, right?
They paid the not the discount. They paid the regular.
Okay, they paid the regular amount.
Well, they paid correctly according to the date of the check.
Okay, they paid correctly, but we didn't get involved in this until just this last week. So,
excuse me, because I confirmed to them that we go to the post office twice a week and our box is always empty twice a week. So it wasn't there for us to pick up.
Yeah. So anyhow, We just need the approval of the commission to go ahead and accept their August payment and not charge them any penalties or interest.
I think that's reasonable. Yeah.
All right. So I hear a motion from Commissioner DeBell to go ahead and accept it. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Cool. It's good to go.
I'll advise them tomorrow.
Okay.
And deposit the check.
Okay. They want some kind of receipt, right?
I don't think so. I'll just send them the email.
All right. Okay.
We might get mail
twice. We had a death in our city on August 18th. Celia Laporte, who is one of our ethics board members, passed away. Natural causes. And anyhow, she was an ethics board member. And according to our ethics ordinance of 1994, November, we're required to replace to have our ethics board at maintaining the three people. Right now, Mr. Jim
Lancaster.
Mr. Lancaster. I call him Jim. Mr. Lancaster is an ethics board member, and Katie O'Brien is the head of the ethics board. So we need another ethics board member. This has been posted on the website, by the way. The only requirement that's required is the person has to be a city resident for a year and know the ethics ordinance. There's no pay involved. It only comes about when there's an ethics violation, which hasn't been one since 2017. So, I'm going to have to spring a poll for a dollar donation when these phones go off. So, anyhow, I wanted everybody to make aware of that so they could put the word out. You want to be an ethics board member?
Yes.
Okay. There is no pay, and he said, you know, we haven't had a violation. That doesn't mean we haven't had investigations.
Yeah, We've had some. Anytime there's anything that comes up, it goes to Katie O'Brien, and she reviews it with the members. And half the time, it's all the time. I'll put it that way. All the time since 17, it's been retaliations for things. Okay, I'll put it that way. So. Anyhow, our cutoff date is next city meeting. So I'm asking for people's help. It's posted on the website. I'd hate to have to pull favors out again. So anyhow, this is important. This is one of the things that we're required. That's a sworn oath of office position, even though it's usually sits by the wayside. But it's an important position.
It is, because we don't investigate ourselves.
Right. Okay. The other thing is I got a call from Mrs. Campbell. Harold's got some issues, and Carol told me she would like, or she has to be replaced. Okay? And that really should be two people doing it.
And she and Sylvia were doing it.
Right. She and Sylvia would do it. Yeah, right.
And Sylvia were doing it.
And I haven't posted this on the website because I didn't want to do anything until I brought this up at the city meeting. To see if we wanted to continue doing it. I think it's an important group.
Carol has always had a lot of positive feedback from it, because when people are new to the neighborhood, they really do enjoy getting that welcome bag.
Right.
You know, and I know that it really does pain her to have to give it up right now.
Oh yeah, I mean she really didn't want to call me. I'll put it that way.
No,
this is not something that's ordained or is required by having this oath of office. So we can basically continue. We can start looking. I can put it on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And go from there. It's not something that Carol did every month anyhow. She did it about once a quarter. We'd get about 7 or 8. Of course, this was during the time when the properties were selling real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay, right now, they're kind of slow. But anyhow, I just needed your permission to put it on the website so that we can maybe get some interest there. So do I have a motion to post this on the website?
Yes.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. The Sally Place. I thought for sure we had somebody in the audience from For Sally Place. I've got some stuff. If you aren't aware of it, we have new no parking on street anytime signs. And anyhow, so far, since Ms. Walser got notice, who is the property manager, she's the property manager person for the owners of those townhouses that are on Pacelli Place. She has went rounds and rounds with Commissioner Beville. What she doesn't realize, I don't think, is we still have the documentation from the previous time when I was road commissioner. And at that time, she was told that we were putting no parking signs on both sides of the street, and she asked to have no parking signs put on the one side of the street. But it's time to enforce it, because I've got pictures here, if anybody wants to see it, of the street damage that's being done by the vehicles with their leaky vehicles. And we put $3,000 or $10,000 total into Pacelli Place in speed bumps and signage over the last year. And they started parking over top of those, and those speed humps were getting to start get spots on them. So this is the reason why we put in the street legal signage. We also have an ordinance that says there's no parking on the streets in the city of Worthington Hills. It's stated, it's ordinance number 1, series 2015. And that is what I wanted to bring up, because this sign that we just, this courtesy notice we just gave you, we would like to be able to put this on the vehicles and let them know beginning October 1st that we will start ticketing them. They already got tickets.
They weren't for parking on the street.
One of them was, get this, this is what I've been harping about, one of them had a 2021 registration sticker. That's what they got a ticket for. The registration wasn't current. And the other one was parked in the opposite direction of traffic. But that's when, I think that's when Commissioner Beville started getting phone calls from Susie Walser really quick.
And this person actually asked the city to paint parking spaces on Pacelli Place so they could park there. And I tried to explain to her that we weren't singling out that particular block of buildings, you can't park on a street anywhere in the city of Worthington Hills. You just can't. And we can't, we just can't make an exception, and we certainly can't park, pay parking spaces.
Yeah.
On the
I mean, do they not realize that the speed bumps were put in for a reason? Because people were speeding, they were driving recklessly, and to think that that's enough room for two lanes with them parking on the street is...
Well, and there was one morning that there were people parked on both sides,
yeah,
of the street, and the school bus came through there, and it has to just wiggle its way through, and that is so dangerous. That is so dangerous.
And here's the thing: the fire hydrants are on the opposite side of the street,
right,
as the townhouses.
Right. So would they block those?
Right.
And
yeah.
The fire departments don't want to ask you to move your car. They will take
yeah.
their hose
well,
to your window.
And
they'll
if they have an emergency call for a health issue, then they a lot of times you can't even get between the cars.
Right.
So they have their own parking lot. And as of the last few days, I've only found one car parked on the street. Okay? They're now parking in the parking lot. So I just...
2 months ago, a car was shot up down there.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens over there in them apartments. So, anyhow, do I have the okay to... Did Dennis I have the okay of putting these
yeah.
notices on there?
You can extend this down into Pacelli in East Bay. That would be fine. I am...
Okay. Yeah, this will work for Pacelli down in East Bay Village,
yes,
too.
I agree with it. They pull up in the yards right in front of the no parking sign. And we we give courtesy notices, and they continue to do it.
Well, first we had the big
on the curve where there's no sight that's coming. So,
first we had the no parking anytime sign, the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't make any difference. And so then we changed them out to them.
Yeah, we put them to the legal signs.
Yeah.
When I was road commissioner, I didn't know the difference. This is that first notice that Susie, the conversation started in May of 2016 between Mayor C and she had sent the email to Betty Coleman, the city clerk. It got to Mayor C, it got to me. I questioned Steve if we should send him a notice. Mayor C come back and says they've already gotten notice. I argued, no, they haven't, because the tax bills go to the property owner. Anyhow, nothing happened. It just ceased. I have no idea what Betty Coleman did for a response or anything, because we didn't have access to her emails.
Well, I'm still waiting on my reply from
December. That's when Susie Walser started emailing me, and that again, when I basically, Steve told me that there's no parking in the city of Worthington Hills, there's an ordinance to put the signs up. So I put the signs up. But of course, it said no parking. Didn't say on the street, just said no parking. But I tell you what, I saw cars parked right next to it, even though it said no parking. So anyhow, that matter is resolved. There's no parking on the street there any longer. Hopefully that oil stains will wash into the environment and, pollute everything. No offense. I'm just joking. Okay? But that's what happens. Go down. If you haven't been to Pacelli Place, you can see them big oil marks down there because people weren't taking care of their cars. All right. The next thing I have is something that I wanted to bring up that Dennis and I discovered. First off, there's the one house on Ludenberg that had a U-Haul sitting in front for like a week and a half, and there was a lot of trash out front. You'd assume that they were moving out. we got word there may be something else going on. That the person, the people that live in the house are doing clean out of households that have been evicted or vacated. Okay? And they're collecting their leftover belongings and coming back to our neighborhood and sorting it out and putting in our trash. Okay?
Where our trash pickup.
The trash pickup.
Well, their own trash.
Their own trash.
They're using our waste management company that's all
to dispose of. Okay.
Okay. So I wanted to bring that up. That's one incident. That last week, Dennis and I were making the mail run, and we got on a certain street. I won't mention the name of it, but we found the yard maintenance people pulling yard waste bags out of their trailer and putting them on the side of the house to be put in our yard waste on Friday. Okay?
So the owner's letting them store their yard waste bags, or the owner is with yard waste?
The lawn care service owns the home.
Okay.
Okay? They go to other neighborhoods, do their lawn maintenance, pack it up. Now, here's the problem with that. It's not just yard waste, large amount of yard waste. It's the amount that they're bringing the possible insects and other varmints back to our neighborhood to infect our trees.
Are they in bags? What are they stored in?
They're putting it in bags, but the bags aren't closed up, and even if the bags are closed up, varmints, the little insects, can get in and out of them. So they're transporting possible insects that could come in and harm our landscaping and trees.
Well, I had murder wasp on my, or murder hornet on my porch. I knew it.
So
it was like that big.
I want the commission to think about this problem and do some research on your own. I've been doing research, and I want to try and come up with a resolve on this, because I know the name of the company for the yard lawn care company.
Well, then call them up and say, stop bringing other people's garbage over here.
Well, we have to have
some proof, some photographs.
Yeah, we don't, and I didn't.
Something. Well, yeah, I know we have to have photographs and stuff.
Well, I missed it on my dash cam, okay? It didn't show up on my dash cam. So.
And I mean, would the city have a leg to stand on as far as what, if we're not being charged additionally for this? They are a taxpayer.
But their company is not a taxpayer.
No.
Their house is a resident. And the trash is not from the... I'm just bringing up
that
the trash is not from our neighborhood.
I'm trying to debate it.
Right.
I'm just saying that, there's...
That's the reason why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
You guys need to know about this.
I understand. I completely understand.
And
at the same time,
I'm more concerned about what's bringing over, because they aren't only putting in
proof of invasive plants and insects, reptiles, or whatever. Then yes, I would say
was it 2 years ago when we had the complaint from the neighbor that lived in Oakhurst next to the guy that was bringing home the trees and stuff right there at that one house?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not the first time this has been brought up. He was talking about mice and everything, because the guy didn't have a bucket-type trailer. He just had a flat trailer with a couple sides on it. And he said he caught varmints coming out of it.
We have that vine and chickens through the trees. And I know
we can have as many chickens as we want, by the way.
Which is in my backyard.
Okay.
They're invasive, so I understand that.
All right. So that's on the table for the time being. I gave you a copy of this so that you'd be able to know to look at it. Okay? This is The next thing that I am on here is a CRRC fulfillment process. Right now, we go through the payment and the CRRC gets sent over to Dan after he Bev gets the form and the payment. There's something else that I would like to add that they're not asking for. And there's a reason why doing this. The title search company provides the sellers and the buyers, or the buyers, with covenants or anything that pertains to the property they're coming into. What I'm suggesting we do is we only send them the tax information they're requesting, but we have an insert letter or an insert notice that would include our rental and home, vacant home registrations requirements that state, you know, what our ordinances are. Also, a notice that our homes are for zoned are for single family dwellings, and the occupancy is to comply with Louisville Metro Jefferson County's LDC and housing codes and regulations. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up. We now have a family living on one of the streets. We just got the registration last week. We have 5 adults and I think it's 3 children living in a house that according to Zillow has 5 bedrooms. I don't believe so. Zillow can be manipulated, okay? So my plan is to find out what that house is really designed at. But not only that, we've got a couple other houses that I think are, I'm not going to call them frat houses, but they're not related. They're all roommates. Now, that's what we had the problem with at 4002 Northumberland. They were listed as roommates. And zoning got them out because they contacted the property owner's management company, which is Main Street Renewal. They sent a notice on the fact because they got a copy of the registration. And they also checked on it, and we had been complaining about them parking next to the driveway and tearing up the lawn. So they weren't allowed to renew their contract in July. Since then, Main Street Renewal knows about our zoning requirements and that roommates aren't authorized. In Jefferson County, for their roommates are considered to be in a boarding house. A boarding house is under the ordinances of Metro. They require anything with less than 5 bedrooms. The owner has to live in the house. It's considered a boarding house. They allow boarding houses, okay, but we're not zoning for boarding houses. And even if we were, the owner would have to live here. And most of the time we have the problems with is with the management companies not keeping up with the ordinances that we're required to follow.
Well, you know, we have the rental cap over there where we amended the master deed in 2019 to put a rental cap. And what I've been discovering this past couple of weeks is that we have a lot of cousins, and we have a lot of uncles and nieces and nephews who are not really...
Nieces and nephews? And
they're not really renting.
Right.
They're just watching the place.
Right.
And the ordinance says if the owner does not live, the owner has to live there.
Right.
If the owner doesn't live there, then it's rental property.
Right.
You know, and they don't want to believe that. They just
I
don't.
Know. This is the reason why I would like to compose, have help composing. You do such a good job of it there,
oh,
Commissioner
Lord.
Brazil. Okay. I'll get it going, okay? And we'll talk about it next time. I'd like to get it this time because I just found out there's some house that's selling on a street. Talking to the current owner, because I met her years ago. The buyer's coming out of Florida on the 28th, which, by the way, I don't think we've gotten a request on the, I'll talk to you later about it.
You asked me that the other day.
Okay, so according to Bev, we still haven't gotten a request for the tax information, but it's supposed to close on the 28th. And she mentioned an Airbnb.
Oh, that's another thing we had to put in the thing too. You can't
do Airbnb in our neighborhood.
I know, and I tried to explain that to somebody.
Well, this is the reason why. Terrible. This is another reason why I'm bringing this up at this city meeting is we need to give the information to the buyers because. Well, I tried to tell that one closing guy, the title company, and that had you called a couple months ago, and he still sold it to the people wanting to rent it. So,
but it's sitting empty.
It's sitting empty, right, because they're probably figuring out what they're going to do now. But this is important. I think this is what we need to do. I'm making a motion. We go ahead and compose this fulfillment notice. This notice that talks about what the restrictions are, what our residential properties are zoned as, just information that's on a one-page document or mm-hmm. two-page or whatever it takes, and it goes along with the tax information. That way, when they get to the table for the settlement, it's on their lap. And they can't say they didn't know.
Well, we just reduced our rules and regulations, which was 12 pages long, I had to go, down to six. Because nobody's going to read the thou shalt and thou shalt not.
Right.
You've got to put it to them in plain English.
Right.
Don't set the place on fire. Don't climb on the roof.
I mean, seriously. And people still want to debate it and conquer you and do all this and do all that.
Yeah. And the other thing that we need to include on here, and this is big now, because I did a whole composition. I'm going to send you a copy of the email I sent to the lieutenant of the 8th Division today about car tag and driver's license and address changes on insurance coverages. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is very important that these people know to do this. First off, it's revenue that the county, the schools, the fire districts get on the car tags. Not so much the state. The state gets their part. Okay, but then the big portion is when they have Kentucky tags, we know they've got insurance because mm-hmm. it's required to get it. So we get premium insurance tax, and that right now is almost half of our budget revenue. So this is important, and people just don't realize. They think they can circumvent it until they have an accident, and then they find out they don't have coverage or they have limited coverage because Louisville is in a high insurance rate area in Kentucky. So moving from that, there was something else I was going to talk about on this. Oh, I sent you all an email about the drivers that are dropping their car insurance because of the cost, or the insurance companies are dropping coverage because of the cost to insure people in certain areas of the United States. And I know who read it, and I'm glad you all did, okay? So, I think that's all that's on my list. Does anybody have anything?
I would just like to, I have a couple points. One, I would just like to thank Commissioner Metcalf for taking his time out to come over to East Bay on occasions where I need an extra set of eyes or... You know, hopefully it doesn't happen, or a witness, because he has And of course, you, I've spoke with you over some instances, but I just would like to thank him, and because we've had some. Well, this last one was absolutely terrible, but and I'm assuming it's going to be in his report. But I just would like to thank Commissioner Metcalf, and then also I know that at one point I spoke with you about having our signs lit, and after much thought about security, and it. In my opinion, unfortunately, it seems like our area is has just became more saturated with crime. And even though I went and spoke with Marcus Winkler, and he just turned his head, he couldn't give me any answers. I've been kind of thinking of various ways. I mean, I know that. It's everywhere in the city. I know that this is life, but I've just been trying to think of ways how we can make it less desirable for these types of folks to want to visit our city or our area. And I am looking into to install security cameras at our entrance. But
we're thinking about hiring a
control. Yeah,
my door is locked for your protection.
Yeah, I that's the only solution I can come up with is to make it less desirable.
We're thinking about. Hiring.
No, it's not, but we will be able to see. We will be able to see. We will be able to report it to the police. If they're not shot out. But I'm looking into, the security cameras, and we'll come back with any kind of information that I find.
Okay. What are you saying?
I'm going to contact Detective Mason. I'm not going to contact him as a commissioner. I'm going to contact him as the president of the HOA and say, tell us how much it would cost to have someone patrol this number of hours during this time and that time, because it's just we have people, and not just ladies. We have men who work late and come home. And they don't like coming home late at night, because it's you never know who's going to...
And that seems to be a fad in other cities right now, is bum-rushing someone as they're going in their door.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that I even saw an article where they're saying a new cartel gang has entered the city of Louisville, and they've been targeting women in the South End.
A what?
Some kind of cartel gang.
Oh.
So
yeah, that's
been
on the news.
Yeah, and they've been targeting women, and it's happened on a few occasions in the South End. And they're not making they're not trying to conceal who they are. They're not trying. So, they're pretty much strong-arming, and they've robbed and mugged. One woman was punched in her face and knocked out. So, and this was at a Dollar General store. So I just wanted to bring that up. I talked to Commissioner Metcalf about cameras.
Okay. We need to work together on it. Any ideas you come up with?
The only solution is just make it less desirable for these type of people who want to come into our area.
Well,
the
speed bumps that we put on for Sully has made a difference when it comes to the Zoomers, because we know they were coming through shooting up stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can't come zoom around the corner anymore, because they'll end up flying and popping their head on if they're not in a convertible, so
right.
some people may be upset about having three speed humps in that short distance, but I'm telling you what, I know it's made a difference because I've seen less cars.
It very well has.
The times that I've been over there, I've seen less cars coming either from Tazewell or Nansman and making that loop. Now they're avoiding it.
Well, and then, thankfully, knock on wood, this year, you know, not as many gunshots or, you know, shootings like that. But just today, as I was getting ready to come to the meeting, about 6:15, I heard gunshots ring out. Now, it sounded like they came over from the other side of Tazewell, maybe Accomack.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just,
it is.
Nothing's got to give.
Fulfillment
moment? We just kind of got off that.
I'll get into it in a second. All right. On this fulfillment, do we want to do a motion to go ahead and do this fulfillment?
Yeah, I'll take a motion.
Thank you.
Yep.
I mean, Commissioner Muffin, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Oh, I want to make a personal thank you to your all's improvement in your property down on the Pacelli side of Bay Garden. Okay? It really looks nice. Y'all have done a great job. Have you got any plans for it? Are you going to move the fence and put a park down there? Or?
Any more money?
Community pool.
Well, it looks nice.
And
I'm sure the people that live in the townhouses appreciate it too. So, again, thank you very much.
It was because trees were falling on houses and cars.
What?
Trees were falling.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, we're having trees fall in the green space that you look perfectly normal. The ants have got up in the trunks and they're okay. So that was my contribute to the Bay Garden folks. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. If there's nothing else,
your air cleaner.
Is there anything else for new business?
I should have brought this up back when we were doing expenses. I noticed that the DC-3 bill increased since last month over $44. Is there a reason for that?
Yes. They put in, there's some software upgrade they did, and we're about to get another. I just got this bill. It's a $300 bill. It's a one-time bill. It'll be on next month's expense. It's for an upgrade to the cybersecurity that they just put in. This is in addition. They did this, I think it was last year or the year before, where they did an upgrade in the cybersecurity equipment and the software, and they charge a one-time charge, and it's based off of the size of the organization. We're a small one, so we get the minimum, but that's in the will come in next one. This increase that we're seeing right now is a software change or upgrade on the Microsoft products. Our Microsoft Outlook is a security upgrade on it, I believe.
Was that a one time?
No, it's monthly. It was, forget how much it is. They estimated between $5 and $15 per email or something. I don't know. Anyhow, it's maybe it was $5 per email because we got 9 emails. How much you say go out?
$44.
$45, yeah, that'd be $5 per, it was $5 per email address, okay? So it was an email address upgrade. Is that it?
Pretty soon I'm going to
email
them.
Okay. All right. Commissioner's reports. Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin.
Okay. 8:21, an email from Bev regarding a voicemail reporting a leaning light pole at 4501 Dickerson. I spoke to Mayor Stoneham, and he also reported that and a dim street light at 119 or 11900 Queen Anne's Court. called LG&E and reported it. 824, an email from Commissioner Pavel requesting MSD be contacted regarding depression surrounding manholes on Tazewell Drive. I spoke with Mayor Stoneham, and he advised that it would be the water company issue and that he would contact Commissioner Beville and talk about it. Sorry, I can't talk. 910, email from Commissioner Beville asking if I had a reply from Christopher Pierce with Rumpke in regards for a bigger dumpster for Trust Condos. I replied that I had. He stated an eight-yard dumpster was the largest size for commercial use. It was delayed, my email back and forth, because I had a death in my family and some other issues going on. Anyhow, 916 drove the street, city for street light check, lights out at 4433 Bank Iron Court and 11915 Tazewell. 918, sorry, goodness gracious.
Man, that's $2.
And it's spam. 918, or today I reported the street lights out to LG&E. 919, attended the city meeting and will participate with Commissioner Metcalf and the radio check.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Beville.
825, I opened the ticket about the sinking manholes, and then I got a reply that it was the asphalt in the roadway that needed to be fixed, not the manholes. It wasn't their problem. 827, I contacted Safety Co. for another update on the no parking on the street and speed bump signs I ordered. The street, they were installed on September the 1st. Up between 9-5 and 9-11, I talked to the property owner on Selly about the signs. We've already heard all that. 9-11, I completed that questionnaire from Bramble and Ackley in preparation for the audit. And then I corresponded 9-12. Corresponded with Mason Carpenter with MoBetter and received the estimates of snow and ice management for the 2023-24 season, and forwarded the estimate to the mayor and the commissioners for their review. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner DeVille. Commissioner Metcalf.
Conduct your radio checks after last city meeting. We'll conduct radio checks tonight, 9-19-23, using Channel 1. Drove the city on multiple occasions. Went to the storage area with Mayor Stone to pick up the yard sale signs for the citywide yard sale. Went to Dan Small's office with Mayor Stone on one occasion. Went to the post office with Mayor Stone multiple times. Answered phone calls about a loud party on eBay Drive. Bay Run Drive, I mean. Answered a phone call about using a fire pit. Answered a phone call about the date of the citywide yard sale. On 8:25, I received a call from Mayor Stone that Commissioner Maupin that there had been an incident on East Bay Court. When I talked to Commissioner Maupin, the police wouldn't give her any information. I called Detective Mason at 4:01 p.m. and he called back at 4:06 p.m. and let me know that a teen had accidentally shot himself. And I passed the information on to Commissioner Maupin. And I didn't put this part in there, but while I was over there, a juvenile or a teenager flagged me down, and he seemed really upset. He asked me if I was there for that, and I said, no, I don't know anything about that. And so I got to thinking, so I went over and talked to the detectives, and I told him, I said, I think he knows something because he's too agitated. And Susan had called me after that, he went home and started trashing his house, so he was upset about something. So the detective went over and talked to him. So I don't know what else happened after that.
Yeah, I haven't heard any feedback about him either.
Yeah.
Did the young boy do that?
Oh, no.
Oh, did it?
17-year-old.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Is there anything else anybody wants to bring up? If not, the mayor doesn't have anything to talk about tonight. He's going to save his breath that he spent.
Deb, would you please make a note of that in a minute?
I'm going to forward you the email that I sent to the lieutenant down at the 8th Division about the property tax and property insurance.
Thank you.
Or property, the insurance premium tax.
Thank you.
But that's not important. So anyhow, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion.
Do I hear a second? That was Commissioner Malpin. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Y'all have a great evening. It is
8:25.